have your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter number 24. Many times this is a message, even I've used this passage before for Easter service. But I want to draw your attention today is, have we met Jesus? The song this morning, only He can satisfy your soul. I'm afraid a lot of people, we come to church, but our soul is not satisfied. It's not at peace. We're not comfortable with where we're going. Our walk is not satisfying in our heart. I want you to notice in this passage, Cleopas and an unnamed man are walking together. They're walking and they had political dreams for Jesus Christ. Now, if you remember, all the disciples had political dreams for Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, if you remember, Jesus Christ looked at Peter and the disciples and said, look, I'm going to have to die and in 3 days rise from the dead. And Peter began to rebuke him and say, oh, far be it. No, you can't do that. You're our future leader. They all thought, the Jewish nation, for the most part, thought that Jesus Christ was going to be the next David, that he was going to come in and set up a kingdom, worldwide kingdom, put the Romans in their place, and the Israelites were going to, sort of like Moses, they were going to come into the promised land, and as God had said in the book of Ezekiel, they're going to set up a kingdom, and they're going to rule and reign with him. They thought that was Jesus. So whenever Jesus said, I'm going to die and be raised again the third day, they were confused. How can our political leader die and be raised the third day? John the Baptist had it right. He looked at Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He knew why Jesus came. Sure, there was this dichotomy of people split. Most of them thought he was coming to set up a kingdom, and then they were going to be sort of like leaving Egypt. They were going to be able to be in the promised land. And God's promised that for the 1,000-year reign. They thought he's coming to do that. So now Cleopas, and it looks like Cleopas' wife is Mary's sister. So he's very close to Jesus in the sense of thinking of what he's here for. But remember, Jesus Christ did miracles. Why? To let the world know he was God himself. That he could do things no one else could do. And one by one, many people began to put their faith and trust in Christ because they saw his miraculous power and his goodness to people. He saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. They saw blind men healed. They saw lepers healed. They saw women with issues healed. They saw all these different things. They saw him feed 5,000 men besides women and children. They saw him feed 4,000. They said, he can do anything. He must be our political leader, our Messiah that's going to set up the kingdom. Wow, look at his power. And a few looked at him and said, wow. He can save us forever if he uses that power for us. And John the Baptist said, he's going to. He's going to die and set you all free. So people are confused. So notice, if you would, in Luke chapter 24, look in verse number 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together, and notice, and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, all the Old Testament scriptures are there. He's coming to die. But they didn't get it. So here, they're walking together and their hopes and dreams have been dashed. And that's really what I want to speak to you about today. Are you discouraged? Your dreams kind of put on the back burner. You just don't know what the future holds and you're disappointed with life. That was these two men. Have you met Jesus yet? So they're walking along, talking, they're reasoning together. But if he's going to be our leader, he couldn't have died. But I saw him die. I saw him put into that grave. And beside that, they said, this is the third day. Now, not only are they disappointed. Notice, if you would, in verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another, and as ye walk, are sad? Anybody ever been sad? Is this, things didn't go the way you thought. And we're just disappointed. You've got to meet Jesus. You got to do something. You go home, get beside your bed and say, Lord, I want to give this to you. Lord, I can't bear this anymore. I can't carry this anymore. I know who you are. They didn't. I know you're the God of heaven and you love me and I know you've saved me. Lord, would you encourage my heart? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Have you met Jesus in your disappointments of life? Everybody in this room is going to be disappointed. That's the way we grow. Young people, how many of you are in school? Raise your hand. Let me see how many of you are in school. Let me see all your hands. Keep it up good and high. How many have a good and high? Keep it up. I want to see it. Raise it up real high. Okay? Now let me ask this question. Keep it up. Okay, keep it up. Okay. Now when your teacher tells you, we're going to have a big final exam on Friday, what do you do? See the hands going down? See, look at there. I'm putting your hand down. I don't like that. And how many of you know, you get a little discouraged, you know, say, oh, no, I got, do we have to have it this Friday? How many of you want them to put it off till Monday? Let's see hands. Okay, see, I have hands all over the place. You see, disappointments come, and we have to face them. But we look at those disappointments and say, oh, why do we have to take this test? Now, all of those kids that raise your hand, would one of you tell me why your teacher gives you tests? Any of the students? Does anybody know? Yes, sir, in the back. Stand up and tell me why your teacher gives you a test. Who you're sitting by your mother, a teacher, okay? So you better get this right, all right? Tell me why does a teacher give you a test? Exactly right, to test your knowledge and to help you grow. It's to help you become stronger. You see, we know more about the subject after the test than we did before. Why? Because we're forced to study for it. I mean, you're forced to, I gotta get this in my mind, I gotta get this in my mind. So when we get discouragement, what do? We just sort of, These two guys, they're walking together, saddening each other. Yeah, it wasn't what I thought. I thought he was going to whip the Romans. And yeah, I thought we were going to have, and they're sad. They needed to get to Jesus. They just didn't know it. And get to him and say, Lord, now look what they did. Look here what happens. In verse 18, Jesus asked them, why are you guys sad? Every time you and I are sad, Jesus is going to look at you and say, why are you sad? He's going to do the same thing to me. Why am I sad? I'm on my way to heaven. I've got a God that loves me, and he's got a plan for my life, and as long as I put him first, I've got the greatest plan in all the world, and he's taking me to heaven one of these days. So in other words, tell me how I can be sad. Oh, I my car broke down. Okay, so what? Test. It's a test for me to learn to trust the Lord, how I can get it done. Maybe there's somebody that he wants me to talk to about the Lord, how wonderful he is. These two guys couldn't have helped anybody. They were sad together. And Jesus looks at them and says, why are you sad? They met Jesus. Now watch what happens. Verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, not knowing it's Jesus, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know what's happened? So somebody comes to you and says, hey, why are you sad? My car's broke down. There are mechanics that can fix it. I mean, why are you sad? Does the Lord know that your car broke down? Well, I'm sure he does. Have you talked to him about it? No. And so they tried to get Jesus to worry with them. They tried to get Jesus to be sad like them. What? You don't know what happened in Jerusalem this week? Look, you ought to be sad like us. They're walking along. And notice what happens. Verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? You haven't talked to me about it yet. Folks, when you and I get discouraged, talk to the Lord. Put it at his feet. He loves you. He wants to help you. These two didn't. They carried it along, and it made them sad. Number one, as you walk in life, there are going to be tests and quizzes that are going to make you sad. Because you and I aren't looking at them as stepping stones to growth. We're looking at them as disappointments to life. And the Lord says, look, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to grow you. How many of you teachers in this room are trying to have your fourth grade class, your third grade class, your seniors, your juniors? How many of you are just trying to make them miserable? Would you raise your hand? Thankfully so, no teachers raise their hand. You know why? They're trying to help them learn the subject material. Prepare them for life. And God is doing the same thing with you and I when disappointments come. He says, will you trust me? Come talk to me about it. Meet Jesus with your problems. Fall at his feet and say, Lord, can I talk to you about it? He asked him, what things? What are you talking about? He knew all about it. He just wanted them to tell him. And you know what? When disappointments come in our life, the Lord just wants you to come tell him. He wants you to share it with him so he can encourage you. Notice, if you would, notice the second thing. Not only were they discouraged, they were doubting. Look at verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We thought he was going to be our general. We thought he was going to be like David. We thought he was going to be Moses and lead us into the promised land. That's what we thought. And so now they're discouraged and they're doubting. Who is he? Look, Jesus is exactly who he claims to be, the King of Kings. And he can still do anything if we don't doubt him and go to him. We've got to go meet with him. Now notice, if you would, what he said. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things are done. You know what they're saying in that verse, that phrase? And he promised to raise from the dead, and he didn't do it. So who was he? He didn't keep his word. He died, and I don't even know who he is now. And we followed him. I mean, we looked like idiots because we thought he was the next Messiah. We thought he's the Messiah. Look, they're doubting. And maybe you're here today and you doubt who Jesus is. You need to meet him. Let him remove your doubts. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, they were disappointed, discouraged. They were doubting. But notice with me, if you would, I want you to see this. Look in verse number 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And notice, and when they found not his body, they came and said, saying that they also had seen also a vision of angels which said that he was alive. We are so confused, we don't know what to think. Anybody ever been like that in life? Confused and doubting? I don't know what's next. You just need to spend a little bit of time with Jesus. Now, how do you do that? Number one, you have to put your faith and trust in Christ so you become his child. But let's just assume for a minute that everyone in this room has put your faith and trust in Christ. Now, that happens at a moment in time. That's not a process. That comes at a point in time when you get on your knees someplace or you're in your heart, you bow your head and say, Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven. The sinner, the thief on the cross, Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven. Look, just remember me. I'm getting capital punishment for a reason. I don't deserve to be with you, but would you just remember me? In his way, he was trying to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe you're here today and you've never taken the time to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I go to church. I've given money. I've done things for other people. But I've never come to you and said, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. Would you save me and take me to heaven when I die? It's called being born again. That's the first thing everybody in this room can do. Without that, you're not a child of God, and the ear to God is not that clear. If you've got a neighbor, there's an ice cream truck comes down the road. And by the way, we had one this week, so I guess some people brought one for our teachers, and that was wonderful. But let me just say this to you. An ice cream cup comes down your street, and the kids, how many of you have never seen an ice cream truck down your street? Raise your hand. Okay, raise it up. Let me see it. I see some young people like, what is that? Well, let me tell you, when I was growing up, 5-10 years ago, they would have this truck that would come down, and it had all kinds of ice cream, icicles and things like that on the painted on the side of it, and it played music loud, and you could hear it coming. I would hear it coming. I'd go running in the house, say, Mom, give me a dollar. Give me 50 cents. The ice cream truck is coming. And so this ice cream truck would come. Well, I would be so excited. Do you understand that Jesus Christ loves you? But when I go to him and he's my father, I can ask him for stuff that I can't ask my neighbor. I never once went to the neighbor's house and said, the ice cream truck is coming. Can I have a dollar? You know why? They're not my parents. They don't love me like my parents do. And so many a person is saying, Lord, why don't you hear me? They're not his children. They've never trusted him as Savior. So it doesn't mean if I would have gone to the neighbor's house, I guarantee you the first time they would have probably said one of two things. Have you gone to your parents yet? That's the first thing. So they can get out without having to pay. But the second thing is they would have probably looked at me and said, oh, sure, you're a good boy. Here, take this doll and go enjoy your ice cream. Okay? That's probably what would have happened. All right, now, ice cream cup. The ice cream truck comes again. Say that fast 3 times. And so all of a sudden, I go to the neighbor's house again. He said, go ask your parents. You see, there's not the same connection between my neighbor and my parents. And there's not the same connection between you and God unless he's your father. That's the first thing. Trust him as your Savior. But the second thing is, go to him. Lord, can I talk to you for a minute? Cleopas and his buddy are reasoning among themselves. That doesn't do any good. Neither one of them are God. You have a heavenly Father that loves you. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And you got a math test. And you got a broken down car. And you got a bad health report. Come to me. I'll help you. So you got to meet with Jesus when you've got a burden. When you got a disappointment, when you got doubts, go to him. You know, no wife ought to have her husband doubt that she loves him. And no husband ought to have his wife doubt that he loves her. And no young person ought to have your parents doubt that you love them. And no parent ought to have your children doubt that you love them. So what do? You tell them often. So your heavenly Father, I do love you. I do want to please you. When we respond like that to our heavenly Father, he hears us. He wants to remove our doubts. But we go through life carrying doubts and disappointments because we don't go to meet Jesus. These two men, now I want you to notice this. These two men did not go to meet Jesus. He came to meet with them. And many times the Lord has to do that for us. But he doesn't do it all the time. He wants us to come to him daily, hourly, with our burdens and needs. These two young men met Jesus, and it changed everything. And that's what will happen to us when we meet Jesus. We trust him as Savior, and then we get on our knees and say, Lord, could I talk to you? When you begin to build the trust in the God of heaven, that when you talk to him, he's listening and he's going to answer according to the best way for you, and we begin to learn to lean on him, our whole life changes. Too many Christians are walking through life reasoning about the truck not running, reasoning about the van broken down, reasoning about the job, I don't seem to be getting my promotion, or I don't get the raise, or reasoning about all these different things. And we don't tell our Father. We don't meet with him. Now, you notice, look what happens. Look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know what he was telling them? He's saying, you're very unwise, because you have not believed what the Bible says. You have not believed it. Do you believe what God says in his word? For God so loved the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Do you believe that? He said, look, you're foolish and unwise, and you're carrying away you don't have to. Come to me. Notice what he says. He said in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart. I'm afraid that's almost all Christians, and I'm afraid that's me a lot of times. I try to figure it all out first, then I go to the Lord when I've exhausted all my thoughts. He wants us to come to him first, save ourselves a lot of grief, if we learn to trust him. Now notice what happens, he says next. Verse number 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That was his plan. Shouldn't he have done that? He's reasoning with these two men. These two men are not bad people. They're good people. One of them's married to Mary's sister. Notice what happens. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and on and on and on, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, all the prophets. Notice what he says. He expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. He explained to them again who he was. Must Jesus explain to you and I again who he is? Must he explain to us the plan of God? I came to die for you, and if you'll trust me, I'll take you to heaven with me, and I want you to be joyful, and I want you to live life to the fullest, because I've got your back. Notice what he says, verse 28, and they drew nigh unto a village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He just acted like, well, I'm going to keep on going. We just walked together for a little bit. But the scriptures and Jesus had already gotten to their heart, and notice what happens. Verse 29, and they constrained him. Oh, no. You can't go any further. You got to stay with us. You got me to thinking. My heart's pounding. I want to talk to you some more. What you said about those scriptures in the Old Testament, I never saw it that way. And would you please stay with us the night? When's the last time you and I asked the Lord Jesus to stay with us the night? Lord, could you give me more of you? Have you met Jesus? It'll change your life. Well, I'm not talking about being called to the mission field or called to preach. I'm talking about being the close friend of God that every woman and every man in this room and every teenager's room can be. And that's why Jesus died, was to make the pathway open for every one of us to come right into his presence. If you have your Bible, quickly, hold your finger in Luke, but turn to Hebrews, if you would. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, you want to turn there so you can underline it so it'll encourage your heart. Notice, if you would, look at verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now, you know what the high priest did? He went to God for you. in the Old Testament that has passed into the heavens. And what's this? Jesus, the Son of God. So Jesus Christ is in heaven standing up for you and I to the Father. Let us hold fast our profession. No, stop doubting. Hold fast. Stop doubting. He loves you. He's in heaven representing you, taking care of you, watching out for you, telling Satan to leave you alone. Stop doubting. Hold fast. And notice what he says, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's not a cold preacher that doesn't love you. He is the Son of God that's felt every hurt that you have felt. And he wants to encourage you. But you got to go to him. You got to meet with him. Notice if you would. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it feels like to want to pay somebody back, but you don't. He knows what it feels like not to want to forgive somebody because they don't deserve to be forgiven, but he did. He knows what it feels like to be mistreated when he doesn't deserve it. And if anybody in this room has ever been mistreated by a parent, a child, a co-worker, a neighbor, and Jesus says, I know what that feels like. And when you and I go to him, he can help us. And notice what he says. Next one. Look at the next verse. Keep in mind. Turn with me if you would. Don't lose your place like I just did. Okay? Look at Hebrews 4. And notice the wording. Verse number 16. So what do? We've got this great high priest in heaven that loves us and knows every one of our feelings. What do? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's why you meet Jesus. That's why every teenager here, you ought to have a time. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care how much money you have or don't have. Find a place where you can meet with Jesus. And say, Lord, this is the burden of my heart. He said, I've got grace to help you in your time of need. How many of you have gotten a little older and you've noticed changing in your body? How many of you noticed that? Okay. How many of you are 30 to 40 and you've noticed things are some different in your body? Raise your hand. Okay? So in other words, you can go out and work. I can remember going out and work all day long, 105 degree temperature, and the guy beside me is huffing and puffing, and I say, come on, son! I would say that. I'm enjoying the heat. Now, I want a hat. My grandfather used to wear a long sleeve shirt in a 100 degree day. I said, what is wrong with you, granddad? He said, it keeps me cool. Your sweat gets all over and the wind blows on you. Wow, he was smarter than I thought. And so what happens is all of us in this room, we begin to, our bodies begin to break down. And you know what? You need to talk to somebody sometimes. This, you know, from time to time, yesterday, Brother Dave, Party, and I were here. We were weed eating and mowing the grass and just making sure things look nice for today. And I got the weed eater, and I'm holding it. And pretty soon, you know, I twisted it over. And, ooh, what's that? It's not that funny, y'all. And so I'm trying to get that, And so I said, you know what I'm going to do? So I laid the weed eater down. It ran out of, thank the Lord, it ran out of string, okay? So I had to go lay it down. So then I went and got the mower, the one you sit on, and I sit down on the mower and said, oh, this is a lot better. And I got it going pretty soon. All of a sudden, wow, oh, wow, what is going on? That didn't happen 40 years ago. But you know what I need to do? Meet with the Lord a little more. Lord, I know you know what sin does to our bodies. And Lord, I'm hurting. Could you help me, encourage me, give me wisdom, send me to the right doctor, Lord, give me the right prescription, Lord. Maybe I just need, Lord, to kind of sit down in a hot tub of water. I never did that as a kid. You couldn't get me slowed down that much. I don't want a hot tub of water. I want to go outside and do stuff. But you know, as you get older, the Lord has things for us that would help us, Jeff, go meet him. Jeff said, Lord, I need you. Hebrews chapter 4 says, come to me in time of need. Now, let me just say this to you. Turn your Bible back to Luke 24. I want you to see this. Luke 24, now watch this. Luke 24. In verse number 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, this is Luke 24, 30, and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. Now, Jesus had a unique way of breaking bread. Don't know what it was, but he broke bread for 5,000 with just a little. And he broke bread for 4,000 with just a little. So he's got a unique way of breaking bread. And so he said, they prayed, thanked the Lord for the food, and he broke the bread to give it to people. And notice, if you would, in verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they knew him. It's Jesus. He's with us. And he vanished out of their sight. Now, they decided right then, they had to make a decision. Was that really real? Did that person we talked to, was he really real? Is that our Lord? Is that him? They had to decide, and so do we. You have to decide if Jesus is real to you, because he invites you to come to him, and he will help you in time of need. Notice this, we're closed. Verse number 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. It's probably 10, 11 o'clock, and they've got 6 miles to go back. They said, we got to go back and tell somebody. Jesus made the difference in their heart. He burned in their hearts. When was the last time the Lord created a fire in your heart that you said, he's real. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to go talk with him. I'm going to present my burden to him because he can help. Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You just need to meet Jesus, all of us. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning. I'm reminded it was Jesus Christ that said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Today, would you come to the Lord Jesus? Would you just talk with him? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Help us to meet with you. Lord, maybe there's some people here today that have just been carrying weights for a long time. Lord, they've got different visions and dreams. They've got political dreams, Lord, things that are not important to you. Lord, help us to take on your dreams. Help us to realize you came for a purpose and we're here too for a purpose. Lord, speak to our hearts today that we would desire with all of our heart to meet with you today. Lord, help us to meet you. Speak to hearts as only you can. Lord, those that are here today that are not sure of heaven, would you help them to come and get it all settled? Your precious name we pray. Amen.